Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
So Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. And then we're going to talk about blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. It says this, and seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Which, side note, is the verse of the day on the YouVersion app. If you use the YouVersion app today, it was that verse. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Pray with me tonight. Heavenly Father, we look to you, and I thank you so much for the truth of your word. I thank you that there is nothing greater than your word. There is nothing of error in your word, but it is perfect from the very first verse to the very end. And there's no need for us to add to nor take away from it. And I pray that as we look to the powerful word of God, that we would not just be the letter, because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, breathe life onto this word. Let it be logos and rhema to our life. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so let these words that come out of my mouth, God, not because of me, I'm nothing but a vessel, but I pray that it would be your word so that the church could be edified and built up and instructed in righteousness and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We commit this time to you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. I want to remind you of something I said last week, because it is absolutely true, and that is this. The Beatitudes are the formula for godly happiness in our life. They're the formula for spiritual success. When you put these things into your life, and actually Marshall was sharing with me Sunday, he was preaching at a church, and he said that he preached on the Beatitudes, and I know that when we take the Word of God, and we take these Beatitudes, and we actually use them in our life, we don't just talk about them, we don't just think about them, but we actually apply them, and we desire, I want to live this way. Because if Jesus spoke it, then we should be passionate about living it. If Jesus said, this is how I have prescribed you to live, this is how I have made it for you to be blessed. If he's telling us you're blessed if you do these things, guess what? The only way to be blessed is to do these things. You won't find a better way. You won't find another way. You won't find an easier way. You won't find something else that if you do this, that, and the other thing, you'll be blessed. No, this is Jesus' avenue and formula for blessing, which is true happiness, spiritual success. And so when we talk about blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And we really think about what does it mean to be a peacemaker? And when Jesus is talking about they're blessed, happy are the people that make peace. Happy are the people that they bring peace into situations. Contention is never a breeding ground for happiness. Have you ever been in an argument and you just felt overwhelmingly happy? You're just like, I can't believe I got to have this argument today. This is absolutely amazing. I love it when people correct me or contradict me or are rude to me, right? Contention is never a breeding ground for happiness. Animosity and strife are a surefire way to ruin your day. You can be having a great day and somebody says something. It can be somebody you don't even know. They cut you off in traffic. Or you're about to pull into a parking spot and they pull into it in front of you. And all of a sudden, there's need for peace to be made in that moment. Because if not, you're going to be frustrated all day. In fact, you could be on vacation. You could be at a beautiful resort. The weather is perfect. It's a night. You're sitting by the pool, if you like that kind of thing. Maybe you're sitting in your room reading a book because you don't like vitamin D and being outside. I don't know. Whatever your perfect version of vacation is, you're playing golf, you're hiking, you're shopping, whatever it is that you like to do, you can be doing all of those things, eating five-star food, whatever it may be. But if you and your spouse are arguing, none of it's enjoyable. All of a sudden, all the nice things, the pool is not as cold as it was and refreshing as it once was. The food doesn't taste quite as good. The book is not quite as riveting as you found it moments before your husband walked in or your wife walked in and made that comment that just was like, I'm not really sure why you would say that right now, but okay. All of a sudden, what's supposed to be relaxing becomes taxing, right? You're on vacation, but you're not on vacation anymore. You're there physically, but spiritually and emotionally, because strife has come in, you're not relaxing the way that you once were relaxing. What was supposed to be fun takes a turn and becomes strenuous and becomes stressful. But here's the deal. Contention is part of life. You're going to have it with your spouse. You're going to have it with your children. You're going to have it with your coworkers. You're going to have it at church. The problem is people, they every time contention arises in the church, they run away or they get mad, they get hurt, and people don't know how to work through stuff. So they leave or they cause a big mess. And this is true. That's why 5 out of every 10 marriages end in divorce now, is people don't know how to make peace. They just... We'll just break up. We'll just go our separate ways, right? You're going to have contention in life. You cannot live a life free of contention. I don't care how much you love somebody. I don't care how much you read the Bible. You are going to have disagreements with people in life. But what you cannot do is you cannot ignore the problem. You can't sweep it under the rug and be joyful and be happy. Because what happens is the reason some people never find true peace with each other is because they refuse to actually deal with the issues at hand. So what happens is they get frustrated and they blow up and they don't talk for a couple weeks. And then when the dust settles, they act like nothing ever happened. This is how most people deal with stuff. Everybody gets mad, everybody gets frustrated, and maybe there's an argument, but there's never resolution. There's never reconciliation. It's just finally gets to the point where it's like, let's forget it ever happened. Let's just act like it didn't, and we'll go back, and then you may make it a week, you may make it a month, you may make it a year, but eventually it's going to blow back up again. And then if you don't deal with it then, guess what? It will just come back later. And so it may be uncomfortable in the moment to be a peacemaker, but it is worth it. To say, we are going to live in peace. We're going to make peace. We're not going to act like it didn't happen. We're not going to sweep it under the rug. Just because you're not mad anymore doesn't mean that there's not an issue that needs to be dealt with. We are going to live in peace, because without peace, we cannot truly be happy. So don't sweep it out under the rug. Get it out in the open. Air it out and be a peacemaker, because Jesus said peacemakers are happy, because there is no happiness where there is no peace, no matter what you're doing or where you are. And there is no peace. And when there's no peace, here's what you get. This is the antonyms of peace: irritation, discord, conflict, disharmony, distress, frustration, and agitation. So wherever there is not a peacemaker in a home, in a relationship, in a church, in a business, you're going to have constant irritation, discord, conflict, disharmony, distress, frustration, and agitation. But what ends that cycle is when someone decides, the Prince of Peace is living inside of me, and I will not allow my life, your life, our family, this atmosphere to be robbed of happiness and joy and true peace any longer. I'm going to be a peacemaker. Because God didn't intend us to live in discord and in disharmony and distress and in agitation and frustration. But we're not called just to believe in peace, but to diffuse peace. That means we're not called to just be like, well, peace is a theory, but it's not a reality that I live in. I would love to be a peacemaker, but the reality is I don't have any peace in my home. And that's where most Christians live. I believe in peace, but I'm not really walking in peace. If you ask every Christian, they would say, yeah, I believe in peace. But if you ask them and you put them on a lie detector test and you said, are you living in peace? Most people wouldn't pass that test. They might say, yeah, oh yeah, I've got peace. I've got peace in my marriage. I've got peace in my children. I've got peace in my spirit, my soul. I've got peace. But the truth is most people are not living in peace. And we're not called just to believe in peace, but to experience peace. Not just experience peace, but to be peacemakers. That means to be a diffuser of peace. So that means every atmosphere you're in, you should be exuding peace and not conflict, not agitation, not frustration, not difficulty, but peace. You know, I was thinking about that being a peace diffuser, and Madison has been using this essential oil diffuser at home. And, you know, the only thing better than essential oils is anointing oil, okay? I mean, that's just, if there was a totem pole, it'd be essential oils. And then, especially when you're using frankincense. I mean, that's what we're using in ours is frankincense. I mean, goodness gracious, they brought it to Jesus when he was born. It's got to be good for you, right? And so today I went to take a shower and there was no towel in the bathroom because they'd all been washed. And that's not to complain. I'm thankful that they were washed and I didn't have to use a dirty towel. And so I walked out to the living room where the laundry had been taken after it had been taken out of the dryer. And I got me a towel and I took me a shower. And after I got out of the shower, I started to dry off. And I realized that that towel smelled like peppermint and frankincense. Because in the living room, a diffuser of essential oil had been going for nonstop for like ever since the angels started singing, holy, 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 that diffuser's been going, right? I unplug it. I'm tired of smelling frankincense. I don't want to smell it anymore. And then I'll come back in the kitchen and it's going again. It's like she doesn't know who unplugged it and I don't know who's plugging it in. We're playing this weird game. But anyways, I smelled that towel. And it smelled just like those essential oils. Why? Because it had been in the room where those essential oils had been diffused. And when we are walking and we're truly peacemakers, other people are going to eventually be affected by that peace. But when we're not, because remember, peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That means you cannot make it on your own. You can't just choose, I'm going to be peaceful. It doesn't work like that. You can't mind over matter yourself into peace. Peace has to be born by the Holy Spirit. All of those fruit, those nine fruit, the only place you can have them active in your life is by a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace. And the word fruit means to be plucked. That means that other people can come and can partake of the fruit that you're bearing in your life. And we are not just supposed to claim to believe in peace, but to experience peace. Not just experience it personally, but to diffuse it to other people. That's what Jesus is saying. Be a peacemaker. Not just have peace for yourself. Make peace in other people's life, right? And so that's how we should be, diffusing peace. Not diffusing turmoil or terror or conflict or difficulty or frustration, but perfect peace, actively distributing it to those that are around us. Now, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 33, it says this. Paul is starting to close this book that he's been, or this letter, I guess it was a letter, we call it a book, it was a letter, that he had written to the church in Rome. And he has one more chapter that we're going to have in chapter 16, but he's already starting to close things up. And he says in 15:33, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Now, since he is the God of peace and we're his children, then we should be people of peace. And that's what Jesus is saying. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. My whole life, I've gotten from the time I remember till now, oh, you've got to be Greg's son. The second I meet somebody, they're like, you look just like your dad. I'm like, do you own a mirror? I don't look anything like my dad. He's never had a mustache his whole life, right? But all growing up, I'd say, hey, I'm Spencer DeVries. Oh, I knew you were DeVries. You look just like Greg. I got it my entire life. It's obvious to people for some reason that I'm his son. I don't see it. But it should be obvious to people that we're God's children. Remember what Jesus said? He said, they will know you are my disciples by your love. Meaning, there will be a distinguishable difference between you and everybody else. It's the fact that you love people. And that will show you belong to me. You were trained under me. I'm your teacher. I'm your rabbi. And you are my students. When people see you, they'll know you're my student, not because you have it, you know, pasted on your forehead, but because you're loving people. And it should be obvious to people that we're children of God because we're exuding the qualities of God. That when people look at us and they'll go, they're a child of God. How do you know? They just made peace in this situation. Everybody else was screaming and yelling and was frustrated. Nobody else knew what to do. And they stepped in and they brought peace when everybody else was frustrated. They brought peace when everybody else was confused. You know, you don't just need peace when you're frustrated. You also need peace when you're confused. And we're living in the midst of a very confused world. And when we step in and we bring peace, people will realize that could only come from God. You must be his child. The word son in the Greek, where it says, they shall be called the sons of God, means anyone sharing the same nature as their father. So it also means likeness and behavior. So because he's the God of peace, we should exude peace. That's why when Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by your love, because God is love. So when we show love, they see God. When we walk in peace and we make peace, they see peace. They're seeing God inside of us and they realize, oh, just like somebody saw something in me, maybe it was my eyes, maybe it was my nose, and they said, oh, I see Greg in you. People look at us and they go, I see God in you. You must be a son or a daughter of God. And we must share in Christ's work as peacemakers. Jesus Christ came to provide peace. He's the Prince of Peace. To make peace and to stop the enmity between God and man and the burden of sin and of shame. And here's the thing about being a peacemaker. It's not always easy. And it's not always fun. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this. It's never easy. And it's never fun until it's done. Once it's done, it's fun. Because then you have peace. But the active, you know, working through and making peace is really uncomfortable. It's really hard. It takes a lot of grace. It takes a lot of patience. And it's prayer. And here's the other thing you need to know about being a peacemaker. It doesn't always work out like you want it to. You can be a peacemaker and have every intention of having peace with someone. You want to do it the right way. You want to love them the way God loves them. You want to follow the instruction of Jesus to make peace. And they're not on the board. They're not on board with doing it. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 19, Paul writes and he says this, repay no one evil for evil. That means when someone does something wrong to you, don't do something wrong back to them because we're peacemakers. We don't fight back. Jesus said, if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to them your other also. He says, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. But listen to this in verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So when someone wrongs you, you offer peace instead of vengeance. Don't seek to repay them. God's your vindicator. He'll take care of you. He won't leave you. You know, he won't forsake you. He won't let your life be ruined because of it. He will vindicate you. He is your avenger. But Paul says some very interesting words right here. He says, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. When he says, if it is possible, that means that it's not always possible. That means that there's times that it's possible to live in peace and to make peace, and there's times when it's not possible to make peace. There's times when you do everything within your ability to make peace, but if they are not in peace, then you can't have true peace. And you shouldn't act like it. Some people are literally impossible to have peace with, is what Paul's saying. If it's possible, do it. But that means that sometimes it's not. You can still out, but here's the other thing that you need to learn, is we get so weirded out by that. Well, but I want, if I don't have peace with them, I don't have peace. No. You can still have peace. You just don't have peace with them. We're called to live in perfect peace, because that's what God said in Isaiah chapter 26. He said, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me. He won't promise that and then make it where you can't have perfect peace. You can't have perfect peace, but you try. I want to have peace with Pastor Lauren. I want to have it with Zach. I want to have it with Julio. I want to have peace with everybody in here. I want to have peace with everybody as much as I can. The stranger that I'm going to maybe encounter when I stop to get gas tonight, I want to have peace, but I can't have peace with everybody because not everybody wants to have peace. And so don't live thinking, well, I'm out of peace because I can't have peace with that person. No, that's why Paul said, you do everything that you can. You do your best as much as it depends on you. But at the end of the day, if they don't want peace, you can't have peace with them. But don't let them rob you of the peace of God that surpasses all understanding simply because they don't want anything to do with peace. This may be coworkers. This may be family members. This may be lifelong friends. You have every intention of living in peace with these people, but they have an urge for war. They don't know what peace looks like. They don't know what peace feels like. So you know what you do? You keep diffusing peace. You keep being a peacemaker. You never stop making peace because maybe one time it's going to stick. Maybe one time they're going to be open to it. So you just keep diffusing peace because you're living in peace. And if peace is what's inside of you, then peace is what's going to come out of you. But as much as it depends on you, you do your best. Make every effort to have peace. Pray for them. Pray that their heart would change. Don't give up on them. Pray that their heart would be softened, but don't allow your heart to become corrupted by their poison if they're not a person who desires peace. Some folks, I found, love drama. You know, everybody's got somebody in their family, at least one, right? There's one drama lover in every single family. They're just looking for it. They just wake up and they're like, who can I bother today, right? Like, whose peace am I going to ruin today? And they don't mean to. They most of them don't. They don't even know they're the problem. They think you're the problem, right? They don't even know. Their life is a soap opera, and they're the star player in the drama, right? Don't succumb to that way of living. Just because they do doesn't mean that you have to. You're a peacemaker. You don't live in a soap opera. You live in the kingdom of God. You're a child of God. Let the nature of your Father come through you. They may want drama. You say, I ain't got no time for that today. I'm not doing that. I'm only living in peace. Being a peacemaker means doing the right thing over the easy thing. Because God made peace with us at the cost of his own Son. So peace is never free. God wanted peace for us, and the only way to get it was to send his perfect Son to die a brutal death on the cross. So that means this. You may have some relationships or some situations that are going to cost you something, but the peace that you experience in the end will justify the means that it took you to get there. So sometimes we look at We have a situation, a relationship with somebody, and there's contention, there's strife, there's discord, and we know there needs to be peace, but that peace is going to cost you something. It's going to cost humility. It's going to cost time. It's going to cost effort. It's going to cost you sometimes being willing to realize that the reason there's no peace isn't just because of them, but it's because of something you did. So it will come at a cost, but there is no substitute for peace. There's no, you know, the other night I went to Publix to pick some stuff up on the way home from Scottsboro, and Pastor Madison asked me for Tylenol. Not just Tylenol, extra strength rapid release Tylenol, because that's what she uses. And I know this because I've bought the wrong one way too many times. And they didn't have any Tylenol extra strength rapid release. They were totally sold out because apparently all the women in Scottsboro use that. I don't know. And so the only one I found was a bottle of $25 rapid release. I didn't tell her this. It was $25, and I thought, I'm not spending $25 on Tylenol. I'm just not doing it. Just the spirit of Jeff Tilley came all over me. So I've got olive oil at home. I will anoint her with oil and pray for her. And so But then I remembered that when I lived in North Carolina, there was a gentleman by the name of Mitch Cullen, who was a deacon in the church. And Mitch sold off-brand generic drugs. Now, I'm not talking like fake crack or heroin. I'm talking Advil and stuff. And he told me one time, he said, if the bottle looks the same and the pill looks the same, guess what? It is the same. Literally, the same company makes both pills. They just brand it differently and put a different name on it. So I bought Publix brand rapid release extra strength acetaminophen. I don't know what that stuff's called. I don't know. But I knew what it looks like, right? I can't read it, but I can identify it. It's like Bethel with his spelling words. So I looked at it and I was like, all right, I'm going to get that. Because there is a substitute because it is the same thing. But when it comes to peace, there is not a generic, cheaper, off-brand way to get it. It has to be the real deal. It has to be the real thing. It's valuable. And so I want you to know this. You don't have to live or build a habitation in conflict. You can make peace. Maybe husband and wife, y'all been living in discord for years. You can make peace. Maybe with a child. Maybe you have a coworker. Maybe you have a friend. I don't know who it is, but you can have peace with that person if you're willing to make peace. But then, if they don't want it, you've done what depends on you. You just keep diffusing peace, and you live in peace. But don't let somebody else or your pride rob you of being a peacemaker and living in peace. I want to share some Proverbs with you. I love Proverbs. In fact, we'll probably do a Wednesday night series here soon on Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 1 gives us some insight into what it looks like to live with peace or without peace, and what is the most valuable thing that we could have. The most valuable asset is not necessarily something that is temporal, but it's like I was talking about, it's that true peace. Because in Proverbs 17:1, Solomon writes and says this, better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. What's he saying? I'd rather have just a measly old crusty piece of bread for dinner than have steak and potatoes and all the fixings, but there's strife. There's contention, there's struggle, there's discord, there's agitation. Because trust me, that steak doesn't taste as good when you're in discord. He's saying, but if I have peace, I can be content even with just a little old piece of bread. Because I'm happy. Because Jesus said, blessed, happy are the peacemakers. Not blessed and happy are the ones that have everything that the world tells them they need to have in order to be happy. No, if you have peace, you have happiness. If you're a peacemaker. He goes on to say in verse 14, the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. So I say to you tonight, put a stop to contention before that quarrel ever breaks out. Be a peacemaker. Now, being a peacemaker doesn't mean being a bull in a china shop. It doesn't mean you demand the other person to have peace with you. And you lay down the law and you tell them, this is how it's going to be and we're going to have peace. That's not what peace looks like. You can't force peace, you can only offer it. Say, hey, I'd like to try to make peace in this situation. Not, we're going to have peace, because that's just more discord. That's just more strife. So put a stop to your side of it. I had to come to this realization, and I'm sure some of you have as well. In the end, when you don't stop contention, more friends or family members are lost than arguments are won. In fact, I've realized most of the time, no one wins an argument. Everyone loses. Everybody loses. In fact, I heard it said one time, especially on the internet, no one ever wins an argument. But even I've found in life, very rarely will someone, when you're arguing, will someone go, oh, you know what? You're right. Usually it just builds and builds. Have you ever been in an argument, all of a sudden someone was like, just came to their senses, they're like, I was totally wrong. You were right from the very beginning, and everything that I said, I shouldn't have said. Right? Like, we might come back later and say, hey, I'm sorry for the stuff that I said, but I still believe what I said. I just said it in the wrong way, right? But most of the time, arguments are never won. But you know what can happen is two people can live in peace together. You may not win the argument. That's why Solomon says, look, just put a stop to it. It's dumb. It makes no sense. The enemy would love nothing more than for you to waste time arguing over something stupid. You know, sometimes we get the reminder of how short life really is, how much of a vapor it is, that you could be here today and gone tomorrow, or not just you, someone that you love. Life's too short to waste time arguing over where you're gonna go to dinner, right? Or what color the living room should be. But we will sacrifice peace for the sake of, I think my opinion is better. Listen, opinions are opinions. The only thing you should never be willing to sacrifice on is truth. The Word of God, the fact that Jesus is Lord, that He's one with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. If it's not a spiritual matter, then the stronger person is actually the one that says whatever you would like. In fact, Paul said this way. He said, esteem others better than yourself. In Romans 12, he said, outdo one another in showing honor. You can honor someone by preferring them. And we think, I am the stronger person, therefore my opinion must be the right one. The stronger person is actually the one that says, you know what? I'd rather have a relationship than be right. Now, when I say right, I don't mean right and wrong morally. I'm talking about on the opinion of a color or where to eat or something of that nature. You go, you know what? I'm going to stop this before contention breaks out. It's not worth World War III over something so silly. I'm just going to stop it. But then a true peacemaker doesn't hold that over the other person's head. Because here's what we do a lot of times. We will prefer someone, and then we want to act like the bigger person because we preferred them. And we want to remind them, oh, by the way, I was the one to stop the argument. I was the one to not let it go further. Guess what? No longer are you a peacemaker. You're right back in, you're in contention again. You're in strife again. And so you have to ask yourself, is what I'm disagreeing about really worth the lack of peace that will come between us? Now again, if it's something that regards the truth of the Word of God or something that will affect eternity, do not back down on it for anything. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just silly stuff that we don't realize is robbing our peace every single day. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, Solomon says this, it is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. Anybody can cause contention. Any fool can start a fight. You're not strong because you can fight. You're not better because you can argue. I used to pride myself in being a good arguer. People used to tell me, you could have been a lawyer. And I'd be like, yeah, I love arguing. That's so stupid. Why would I? You're my wife. Yeah, we're going to have an argument over this when we get home. She's walking out on me. I'm just kidding. Anybody can get worked up and cause problems. Toddlers can do that, right? Children can do that. It takes a man or a woman of honor to stop the problem, to stop the quarrel. And it takes a peacemaker to bring peace in the face of adversity. So be a peacemaker. I want to end by telling you a story about somebody that did this in the Bible. If you were to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, you'd find a man by the name of Abram. It wasn't Abraham yet. He was Abram. God spoke to him in Genesis 12 when he said, get out from your family and leave that the country that you grew up in and go to a place that I'll show you to go. And he made him a promise. He said, I'll make you the father of many nations. You'll be blessed and you'll be a blessing. So Abraham, he obeyed God, but he took Lot, his nephew, with him. And after they'd been traveling around for some time, and the Bible says that Abraham had grown to great wealth, and he had many possessions, and he had a lot of sheep, and he had a lot of gold, and he had a lot of silver, but so did Lot. Lot had a lot too. And so they came to this place where there was contention among the shepherds. Lot's shepherds and Abraham's shepherds were arguing and having strife concerning who could water their flocks at a certain place at a certain time. And it was wreaking havoc among the family, you know, situation. And so Abraham, because he was more mature and he was a peacemaker, he came to Lot and he said, Lot, let's not let there be any strife because we're brethren. We're kinsmen. We're family. We shouldn't be striving like this with one another. I know it's our shepherds, and this will show you if you're a true peacemaker. It doesn't mean that you have the right to meddle in other people's problems, in other people's situations. This was Abraham's shepherds and Lot's shepherds. So Abraham had every right to deal with this problem. I'm not telling you that you can just go meddle in other, and you can go play peacemaker between, you know, your Nana and her sister that have been at odds for 40 years. Now, if the Holy Spirit lays on your heart, that's your fight that you get to fight. But what I'm saying is this isn't a right to go meddling in other people's problems, okay? You are a peacemaker for what is affecting you and your family first and foremost. So he goes to Lot and he says, look, there's contention. Let's not let this be an issue anymore. He says, let's separate. And here's something that I want you to get tonight. Sometimes being at peace with someone doesn't mean being best friends. In order for Abraham and Lot to have peace, they had to go their separate ways. Peace doesn't mean you're over at their house eating dinner and playing cards tomorrow night. Peace just means there's no contention. There's no strife. It doesn't mean we're best buds. It doesn't mean that we're going to go on vacation together. It just means when I think of them, there's no animosity, there's no strife, and there's no discord. But we don't have to live together and do life together in order to have peace. Peace and unity are not the same thing, okay? And so he says, you go your way, and I'll go my way. Now, Abram didn't let the problem escalate. Just like it says, stop contention before a quarrel breaks out. He went to Lot, listen to this, in humility and in preference. Remember how I said earlier, the more mature person says, I defer to you. It's because this isn't a matter that is life or death. This isn't a matter of where you're going to spend eternity. This isn't a matter of if it's true or not in the word of God and if it's sin or not. This is just a life matter that whatever comes of it will come of it. And so Abraham, the more mature person, goes to Lot and says, hey, all of the land is before you. Whichever way you go, I'll go the other way. Why? Because I want peace. And peace is more valuable to me than having the best portion of land. I'm not going to fight you over it, Lot. Listen, Lot came with Abram. Abram was his uncle. Abram had greater possessions than Lot. Abram had every right to say, Lot, I'm going to pick, and then you take whatever is left over. Or he could have said, Lot, I'm going to let you have this little land because God's already promised all of it to me, so I'll just give you a little corner over here, and you have your 40 acres, and this is yours, but don't ever step foot on mine. And he would have logically been fine to do that. But instead, he said, Lot, whatever way you choose, I'll go the other way. Lot looked at the land, And the Bible says that he saw that the land was well watered towards Sodom and Gomorrah, meaning he literally took note of the fact it's a better piece of land, and he chose it. Abram didn't fight him on it. He said, all right, man, you chose your way, I'll go my own way. Abraham continued to prosper. God told him, he said, go walk throughout the land because all of it's going to be yours one day. I'm going to give all of it to you. But what if Abram would have fought Lot on that matter? I don't know. I don't want to speculate what could have happened in Scripture, but I do know what we can learn from Scripture. Abram was a peacemaker. He didn't let contention get to the point where it became a full-on range war. You remember watching those old Westerns and they'd have range wars? We could have had a range war on our hands with Lot and Abram. But Abram said, you know what? Whatever you want, Lot, I'll take the other one. Why? Because Abram had a promise from God that Lot didn't have. That's why when it comes to other people, we have a promise from God. All things will work together for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. We're the head, we're not the tail. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so we can say, you know what? It's fine. You go for it. Whatever you want, that's fine. Go for it. Because we have a promise. And God will not fail on that promise. We don't have to vindicate ourselves to people. God's our vindicator. He'll take care of us. Our job is this: be a peacemaker. Be children of God, meaning live like God lives. And God is the ultimate peacemaker, and he made peace by sending his son, by giving us what we didn't deserve. Sometimes people don't deserve the peace that you give them. In fact, no one ever really does. But we give it anyways. Why? Because that's what God did for us. Amen? Stand to your feet with me tonight. Father, help us to be peacemakers. Help us in the face of adversity to not succumb to pride or succumb to discord, but help us to be willing to pay the price for peace, whatever that may be. God, help us to never sacrifice peace with you in the sake of peace with a person. God, peace with you is our first priority. And I thank you that you made that a reality through the death of your son on the cross and his resurrection and ascension to sit at your right hand. But Lord, I pray for each one of us that we have areas or people that we need to make peace with in our life. I pray that you would give us the grace like Abram, to go and say, whatever you choose, I'll take the other way. Because I know I have a promise from God, and he will not fail concerning that promise. He won't let me be the tail. He'll only let me be the head. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to establish peace. God, let us make peace even within our own community. God, in our own homes and even in our church. God, if there's discord and dissension, I pray that peace would rule and would reign. Even as Paul told the Colossians, let the peace of God rule in your hearts to which you were called in one body. So we just declare we want to let peace rule in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you, and may you be a peacemaker and be noticed as a son or a daughter of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Have an awesome week. We will see you Sunday morning.